Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission is to equip you with answers to share the hope that you have within you, because life and truth matter. Why? Because being armed with truth will equip you to counter the corrosive worldviews at work in our world today, while experiencing the authentic Christian life will make you a winsome witness of the purpose of life, which is to experience union with God and Christ, both for today and for all eternity. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, please call in now at 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, go to our website at equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Again, you can contact us via the mail, but you can also contact us, I should say, via the web, equip.org. You can also contact us via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Tomorrow actually marks the day a year ago that I went into the hospital and went through the procedures necessary to prepare for a transplant, and that transplant took place June 11th. Before the transplant, I went through some very significant radiation. The transplant, of course, was successful. There's no sign whatsoever of cancer, of the stage 4 mantle cell lymphoma that I was diagnosed with. However, I do have a secondary cancer. It's called squamous, and it is a carcinoma, which I've had to have radiation for over the last 11, almost 12 days, including today, 12 days. And that radiation regimen will be done on Monday. So every now and then, as I work through my day, I get a little scatterbrained because the radiation is a little disorienting, and it also makes you rather tired. So again, that's over this coming Monday, and after that, I won't be needing to go through the radiation, and I won't be as disoriented as I probably feel at this very moment. I do appreciate all the people that have prayed for me over this span of a year's time. I'm deeply grateful. I'm also grateful to God that He has restored me and that I have no sign whatsoever of mantle cell lymphoma. I do have another PET scan that is scheduled for the end of this month. It's actually a CT scan, and I look forward to reporting that no sign whatsoever of the cancer continues on by God's grace and by His blessing in my life. Well, a lot of you are hanging on. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. First up is Tom in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Tom is listening on the web. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Hank. It's great to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you.
Hey, my question today is, are there any practical reasons why God chose to reveal Himself through the Jewish culture as opposed to the Japanese or the Greek or the Mayan?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And in response to that question, the first thing that comes to mind is what God says, actually, and specifically in Deuteronomy 7:7, sort of memorable because of its address, 7:7. There, God says, "You are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God chose you to be a people for Himself." And then it goes on with some other accolades, but it says the Lord did not prefer nor choose you because you were more in number. In fact, you are the least of the nations, but the Lord chose you because He loves you. Now, when you think about God choosing the Jews, you think about who is the father of the Jews. And immediately, you're reminded that Abraham is the father of the Jews. But you're also reminded that Abraham was not only the father of the Jews, but he was the father of many nations throughout, through whom which all of the nations of the world would be blessed. And then I'm also reminded of what Acts 10 reveals. Remember, Peter is shown a vision. And in that vision, he is shown that God does not show favoritism, but loves everyone, whether you're Japanese or an Aztec or Dutch like I am, or a garden variety American, doesn't matter. God loves all people and wants all people to be reconciled to him. And so that is why Christ sent, or God sent Christ into the world.
Okay. Thank you, Frank. That answers my question.
Well, you are absolutely welcome. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Tracy, listening in Texas. Hi, Tracy.
Hi. How are you today, sir?
I'm trying to muddle through the broadcast today, quite frankly.
Well, I have a really heavy question for
you. Okay.
I want to know, do children pay for their parents' sins? Because I've been told in the Bible that it does say that we do.
Well, actually, the Bible says the opposite of that. Scripture is explicit. The son will not share the guilt of the father, nor the father share the guilt of the son. In fact, there's an entire chapter devoted to this matter. It's Ezekiel chapter 18. So when ancient Israel quoted the proverb, the fathers eat sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on end, God responds in no uncertain terms. You might recall the words of Scripture, as surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, you will no longer quote this proverb in Israel, the soul who sins is the one who dies. Now, in context, if you look at a theological deduction from Scripture, I think you can plainly say that children oftentimes suffer the consequences of the sins of their fathers and even their forefathers. You can well imagine that the child of an alcoholic oftentimes suffers the consequences of the sin of alcoholism. However, again, as the Scripture makes absolutely plain, the son will not share the guilt of the father. Maybe the consequence, but not the guilt.
Okay. Thank you so much for that. God bless you.
God bless you. Yeah, and so often people are talking in pedestals or platforms in the Christian world about generational curses. But again, as I mentioned just a few moments ago, Scripture clearly communicates that consequences, not curses, are passed on through the generation. And in that sense, the Bible says that children are punished for the sins of their fathers to the third and fourth generation. The children of those who stray greatly as a result of their sin frequently suffer neglect and abuse as a direct consequence of their parents' sinful behavior. The descendants of those who hate God are also more likely to follow in the footsteps of their forefathers. I've written about this in an entry in the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated. You can check that out on the web at equip.org. And also, please remember that we have a very, very significant resource this month. It is titled Never Give Up. It's the story of a broken man impacting a generation. That broken man, K.P. Yohanan, who was used by God's might and power and providence to found one of the most significant mission organizations in the history of the human race. And he has a firm commitment to the church as the center of the universe. So he has been used by God to found some 12,000 plus churches throughout the 1040 window. That includes Pakistan and India and Bangladesh and Tibet and Myanmar, one of the places that's very, very dear to my heart. I've spent some time there in Yangon. That resource, a gripping book available for your support this month, check it out on the web at equip.org or write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. We'll be right back with more answers to your questions.
One of the biggest problems right now for many people is that they are running and running with little sense of God, and they can't shut off all the noise around them because they think noise keeps them sane. But once we withdraw for a day or two of silence with Him, we find we have entered a whole different world. Those are words K.P. Yohannan shares in his new book, Never Give Up, the story of his darkest days. And we believe his story will draw you closer to Christ. To receive your copy of Never Give Up, the story of a broken man impacting a generation, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches during the financially critical month of June. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after this. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.
We've seen good times and hard times, but nothing quite like these times. The consequences of the coronavirus pandemic and massive urban unrest have been nothing short of shocking. In such times, people desperately need hope and courage. God brings certain books and people into our lives precisely when we need them. Never Give Up is one of those books, and K.P. Yohannan is one of those people. Through times of trial, we come to know what it truly means to know Christ. Simply put, Never Give Up, the story of a broken man impacting a generation, is the perfect book for this precise moment in history. To receive your copy of Never Give Up, the story of a broken man impacting a generation, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
Once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Oh, thank you very much, Randy. Let's go right back to the phone calls. Next up is Larry listening in Long Beach, California. Hi, Larry. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Becky in Missouri. Hi, Becky.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
I also had stage 3B breast cancer in 2006. And I went through chemo, surgery, and radiation, so I know what you're going through. But God had a use for me, so I'm still here.
Yes, you sound great.
My husband told me he thinks that the Noah and the Ark story is a parable, because he said, well, he didn't go to Europe or Australia to get the animals. And I told him, for one thing, I don't think there's parables in the Old Testament. And I said, and we don't know that the flood was worldwide or just in the Fertile Crescent, you know. So anyway, what would you suggest?
Well, I think that's a very, very wise answer on your part. I mean, the biblical text is not designed to communicate whether the flood was global with respect to the earth or universal with respect to humanity. That debate is ultimately settled by a proper reading of the book of nature. And since civilization was largely confined to the Fertile Crescent, we need not automatically presume that the floodwaters covered the globe. For example, when the Bible tells us that the whole world sought audience with Solomon to hear the wisdom God had put in his heart, only the most ardent of fundamentalists supposes that includes Aborigines from Australia and indigenous people from the Americas. So I think, again, your answer is a very wise answer. I think the other thing that you have to realize is the size and scope of the ark. I mean, if you read the biblical text, it was some 60 feet high. It was 100 feet wide, and it was 600 feet long, as I recall. So if you figure that out, that's a lot of cubic feet. In other words, a lot of room for animals. And you also have to recognize at that time, you had probably somewhere in the vicinity of about 200 or so kinds, not species, but kinds. And we're talking here about land animals, and there are less than 3,000 species, so two each would fit comfortably into the ark. But I think beyond all of that, those are numbers, those are statistics. I think we have to remember that this was a miraculous occasion, and common sense demands that we allow for both natural and supernatural explanations to make sense of the universe in which we live. So realities like the origin of life, the phenomenon of the human mind, pose intractable difficulties for merely natural explanations. I'd also say that reason forces us to look beyond the natural world to a supernatural designer who not only sustains the world, but who supernaturally intervenes in the affairs of his created handiwork, which is precisely what the Genesis flood account entails. And if we're willing to believe that God created the heavens and the earth, as opposed to, you know, this untenable notion that nothing created everything and that life came from non-life and that the non-life that gave rise to objective morals, we'll have little difficulty believing the Genesis account of Noah and the flood. And I think you're absolutely right in saying that this is not a parable. This is a historical reality. That is the sense in which this is communicated to us in the Old Testament.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
You are
you have
welcome.
A great day.
Thank you. You as well. You know, I was thinking, and I wrote about this in my book, Has God Spoken? In his book, Jesus Interrupted, you have Bart Ehrman, who is a distinguished professor of religious studies at the University of North Carolina. He's perplexed about the number of animals that Noah took with him on the ark. And so he says, does Noah take seven pairs of all the clean animals or just two pair? Well, I always like to pose a different question. Does it seem reasonable to suppose that an author capable of writing a masterpiece such as the book of Genesis would get confused within the span of a few sentences? Or is it more likely that Ehrman is straining at gnats and swallowing a camel? Is Ehrman's question legitimate, or has he created a problem out of whole cloth? Well, he has created a fictional problem, because Genesis does not say that Noah was to take just two pairs. If Ehrman really wants an answer, all he needs to do is consider the context. Several verses back, God said to Noah, you are to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female. And then he adds, take with you seven of every kind of clean animal, a male and its mate, and two of every kind of unclean animal, a male and its mate, and also seven of every kind of bird, male and female, to keep their various kinds alive throughout the earth. So taken together, these verses provide a sufficient answer to the conundrum posed by Bart Ehrman. Again, I've written about this in my book, Has God Spoken? Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Larry in Long Beach, California. Hi, Larry.
Hey, Hank. How you doing? It's been a while since I talked to you. Didn't know about your surgery. I'll be keeping you in prayer, praying that God will keep you so you could continue to bless us with the answers.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I got a question. With this police brutality and the protesting that's going on, I'm going to let you know, you probably don't remember me, but I'm a black man myself, black Christian man. They're fighting for Black Lives Matter. So my question is, in the church today, in many churches, I even talked to pastors before, and I asked them about abortion, and they seem to not like want to mix that up together with Christianity. They said that's politics. Let's not talk about that, and it's not being talked about in the church a lot. But however, the black, if you look at the rates of the black women, are the highest rate for abortion. So my question today is, why isn't that the bigger picture? I mean, we definitely have to fight for what's going on here with the police brutality. But isn't there a bigger picture that's going on here? And why are we separating abortion, pro-life, from saying it's separate, it's considered politics? They don't want to talk about it in the church because it's too controversial.
I think we ought to be talking about all of these things. Racism is a horrendous evil. As Christians, we don't regard people based on their pigmentation, but rather we regard all people as equal because they're created in the image and likeness of God. And as Martin Luther King correctly said, it's not the color of your skin, it's the content of your character, and that's what we ought to be concerned with. And I think as far as Black Lives Matters, the content of their character is not particularly palatable with respect to a biblical worldview. For example, if you went to the official Black Lives Matter website, as I did many years back, I read that they are committed to disrupting the Western prescribed nuclear family structure. That is a mouthful. They go on to say, we're committed to fostering a queer-affirming network. They're committed to freeing themselves and civilization from the tight grip of heteronormative thinking. And they say we are committed to uplift Black trans folk, especially Black trans women who continue to be disproportionately impacted by trans antagonistic violence. So their mission statement is not compatible with this notion that we are created in the image and likeness of God. That, above all things, ought to disqualify them as having any part of an ethic that is consistent with Western civilization. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We've seen good times and hard times, but nothing quite like these times. The national and global ravages of the coronavirus pandemic have been nothing short of shocking. In such times, people desperately need hope and courage. Never Give Up, the story of a broken man impacting a generation by K.P. Yohanan, is the perfect book for this precise moment in history. To receive your copy of Never Give Up, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches during the financially critical month of June. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters, and life matters more.
We've seen good times and hard times, but nothing quite like these times. The consequences of the coronavirus pandemic and massive urban unrest have been nothing short of shocking. In such times, people desperately need hope and courage. God brings certain books and people into our lives precisely when we need them. Never Give Up is one of those books, and K.P. Yohanan is one of those people. Through times of trial, we come to know what it truly means to know Christ. Simply put, Never Give Up, the story of a broken man impacting a generation, is the perfect book for this precise moment in history. To receive your copy of Never Give Up, the story of a broken man impacting a generation, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.